There was like a gully in the road, the laneway in the farm, went up and around, and Dad decided, this is when Teresa was a baby, so Mom was still, so it must have been before Mom had her breakdown. Dad decided to make a new route, make another hill. He would push this with a tractor, but he had Teresa on his lap, and he almost went over, like, and then it just got partially done. He had to kind of quit because it didn't work. Sometimes he would get these ideas, and that wasn't, it wasn't a good one.
did you toboggan on the hills at the farm? Because there was hills from the house to the barn, so there was like a tobogging hills that we as kids spent a lot of time at Grandma and Grandpa Patsy's farm.
There was one incident where Dad bought us a flying saucer. They were the in things, right? And I was a bigger girl. And anyway, we went down the hills with this flying saucer. Well, it didn't stay in the shape it's supposed to stay. And I remember that going in Canadian Tire, and he was going to hit the man over the head with his flying saucer. He won his money back because it didn't last, right? I don't think he got his money. I don't know, he must have been too heavy for it. I don't know what, but.
And then you had the lilac grove at the farm. I know as children, we used to play in it because we used to have pathways through, almost like little rooms in this little grove of lilacs and stuff. But did you ever do that as a child?
I didn't so much, no, because that would.
You would have been older.
I was older, yeah. Mm-hmm. And when I was younger, it was at the Campbell place that I remember on the second line. We used to make mud pies, pretend we're baking them, and all that kind of thing, but I don't know how old I was. Like, so we did have time that we did play with stuff, but or being in the field kind of by myself, so maybe they separated us. I'm not sure why I was back in the field and my sister wasn't. It probably was the reason. I don't know.
Is there any big changes, like buildings that used to be there that aren't anymore, or things that you miss that have changed about the area? Dunwich or Southhold, wherever.
Yeah, I think the I miss the knowing my neighbors kind of thing.
Yeah.
Even in, in Dunwich too, like Grandpa's house isn't there no more. A lot of things aren't there anymore. When we go to Barbara lives in Bothwell, but when we go down past Duff Church, down that way, there's down by Furnival Road, there's a property that we think probably was a McRae property. And you watch it and, and they're fixing it, but it looks like it's kind of falling apart too. It makes you feel sad to see the old, especially the old barns. Mm-hmm. I always loved the barns. My brother Donald lived with me at the last, and after Mom passed, well, Mom did too for a while, but him and I would always look at the barns or talk about the barns, and so many of those barns that were kept up pretty good are disappearing, which is kind of sad, because to me the barn was a very active part of my life, because we were in the barn so much, you didn't get friendly with the animals you knew were going to be gone, but there was always cows that stayed and certain things that did stay all the time, right? So so that's kind of sad. And my husband's not a farmer, so we didn't have the farm, but we lived around the corner from my parents' farm, so my children got a little bit of the farming, but not too much of it, so that isn't as important in people's lives anymore. And there's a lot of new homes and stuff, which is good, but I don't know if they understand kind of the farm ways. Like people in the country, they are very friendly and they're very helpful if something happens, but otherwise they mind their own business kind of thing. So and we used to have a school where we would have programs going on, card parties they used to have when I was in public school, where the kids would put on a play or something, and Probably some of that goes on, but you don't meet the neighbors anymore.
Yeah.
Don't have a central area as much, which is kind of sad. Mm-hmm. In a way. Kind of miss that, and same with the churches. There's not. It used to be a central area. It's not so much. You know, some choose to go, and mm-hmm. others don't. So maybe that's another way you don't meet them. Right. So.
And a lot of those smaller places, the churches and things, are no longer there either.
Yeah.
You know, they're now kind of closed, or people have converted them to homes and
right.
things that
we
way.
Have, like, there's pluses. We have the, you know, the internet.
Running water.
You know,
yeah.
running water.
Toilet.
Yeah. Very important. I have had an outhouse at one time at our house, but not for very long. Yeah, I don't miss that at all.
yeah. There's always things that you're thankful that we have now, but mm-hmm. there's also things that you wish.
Well, for cooking, like you can cook so fast nowadays. Back then, it would take you all day to mm-hmm. do those little things that you had to do.
Yeah.
You know, Grandma would have like I never had coffee till. I met my husband and his grandparents. They always drank coffee. Like, it was always tea in the Lilly home anyway. And I think even Grandpa's, we just didn't drink coffee. And so I can remember, I have a picture of Grandma, Mom and her. They're in the kitchen, and I presume the men were fed, and so they've had having a break and having a cup of tea. Mm-hmm. It was just a quiet time for women to kind of have a break. We don't take our time as much. Everybody's in such a big rush anymore. But with the internet now, like because of my grandmother, the McCrays and different ones passing away young, Martha Hooper that married the Lily, she passed when she was 46. I have her wedding ring. That was her ring. Was given to her daughter, and her daughter gave it to my mom's sister, and then she left it to me when she died. I'm not sure what I'm going to do with it, but I wear it with my own. Just kind of makes that connection kind of thing. Mm-hmm. There was a point to that story I've lost. So with the, especially the McCrays, we didn't know much about them, and we've had contact with Ryan McCray. Mm-hmm. He's about 40, lives in California.
Oh, wow.
And he's from Duncan, John Duncan McCray, who was Janet's brother, right?
And recently, like, I mean, that's the advantage of the internet, we've been trying to gather family.
Yeah.
So through like the ancestry, through DNA and stuff, mm-hmm. so recently, had contact with a family through the Reitman family, who was Mom's grandma Lily, grandma of mm-hmm. Catherine Reitman Lily. It was her brother. He's her brother's great grandson,
mm-hmm.
and so that's our first kind of connection with that family. So it's been kind of nice to gather some of the family, some mm-hmm. of the Boomin family, some of the different family to be able to kind of connect in a little way. Because that sense of family and connection with time and technology and lifestyles mm-hmm. has truly lost.
Yeah.
That's why there's such a gift of having a place like this where it continues to try to preserve history and memories. Because, I remember being a child at Southwood Public School and doing a field trip to the Talbot home, mm-hmm. to the Talbot estate, and seeing that as a child, and the significance to our area of being that, and then to know that it's no longer there, is such a loss of history. And I think that's what Mom said, like even with the barns and stuff, there's so much history and mm-hmm. life that was focused around that time has changed that.
Yeah, especially, I know when I was in elementary school, they taught us about pioneers, but they didn't teach us about Colonel Talbot or anything, mm-hmm. and it's kind of unfortunate. So it's good that we have places like little museums and stuff mm-hmm. all over, so that we can really, you know, preserve the history mm-hmm. and promote the sharing of information. And
I seen, you know, it in the paper, but I just didn't think that I would get involved or I knew too much. But then I thought, I thought, well, why not, you know? Because I'm not any younger, have some health issues, so yeah, it's good to know that there's younger people that are going to keep it up. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'd say you have a lot of information. You've got a great memory.
I get muddled sometimes.
Yeah, you guys put a lot of work into researching everything and like
I'm trying to
labeling.
Put everything together. It's just, you know, my husband is interested in this stuff. So, and if I get into it, I like to just kind of keep going. And where he'll come in and he needs something, you know, so then I go and stuff. So then you got to go back and then you start over again. It's just frustrating. Mm-hmm. But
I guess we should talk a tiny bit about how you met your husband.
Well, we were 14, so we weren't very old. And because my mom was having health, probably got to know each other a little faster because my mom wasn't around. They came from Chatham and they bought a farm around the corner from us. And I was introduced to her, and that was the start of it, very young age. And we were married at 18, so. But we used to walk across the gully to sneak across to come and meet us and whatever. So, like I say, if mom was there, it probably wouldn't have been happening. His dad was from the city, and he relocated to St. Thomas Metal Science is where he worked. And so Jim had a hard time with his schooling, but he's very quick in learning to fix things, and he worked on the farm. Kind of got him out of trouble in Chatham, and he's done well for himself. Now we're older, so he doesn't have to work quite so hard, but yeah.
And how many kids did you
have? We have four living children now.
Very nice.
Yeah. And they're getting old.
This child lived about a day.
Oh, no.
He was born too soon.
Yeah.
And back then, in the 70s, there wasn't the technology. There is
today. Yeah, that's one thing to be very thankful for today. So. Science and technology have advanced, and we're able to have medicines, you know, to
the ultrasounds and things.
Ultrasounds, yeah, mm-hmm. Everything. Yeah. Like even like back in the day, even just the Backus family had 12 children, but only 6 of them survived mm-hmm. to adulthood. So that's a lot of kids to die. But back then, you had to kind of expect it because disease, and they didn't know much about germs and.
Well, my dad got Ondulin fever from brucellosis of the cattle. Mm. And so we lost a lot of cattle, and that's why we had some heart issues financially. So thankfully it was only dad that got it. He was the one that milked the cows, right? So, but those cattle, you know, were gone and loss of it and stuff like that. So yeah, there was some hard times. Dad could take sulfas, so that was a good thing. Some people are allergic to sulfas, so when penicillin came in, that was such a miracle for many, many people, right? Mm-hmm. And my brother Donald, we called him Nanny, who was Down syndrome, like he would never have made it if they hadn't had mm-hmm. antibiotics. And he lived till last year, he's 56, right? Yeah. Passed, so he did well, but ordinarily they wouldn't have done because they had so much chest stuff. So very grateful for that. And I think this day and age is so much different. Even having children, I mean, like mom when she had us, I think it was 2 weeks she had to be in bed. And she went to a home in Melbourne for 2 or 3 of them. I was born in a hospital. My sister Faye was born in a house that they were renting. Dave was born at home. They were living in at Grandpa's when he was born. Something I never asked, and I thought about that the other day, and I thought, I wonder which house they were living in when he was born. But then the other two, and the next two, they were there was a lady in Melbourne that like a kind of midwifery, I don't know, she had a room and mm-hmm. that's where mom had those two.
I met her name. Gunnel told me before, but I can't remember her name.
I didn't know, but yeah, I can't remember at the moment. Mm-hmm. Dr. Washburn was her doctor from, well, eventually went to Glencoe, I think, but he must have been in Melbourne at the time, and this lady took people in, and they were there like 2 weeks, mm-hmm. you know, and when I had my children, it was 5 days. Now they have the children in their car, which you kind of wonder, but yeah, so things have changed for sure. Mm-hmm. You wonder somehow how the children even survived, actually, sometimes. Yeah. But anyway, we made it through.
Is there anything else you'd like to share, talk about? Before we wrap it up a bit?
Pretty well covered everything.
Quite a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just think it's important that we can remember where we came from and those in the past and mm-hmm. yeah, be thankful for them. When I was in Scotland, you know, I thought after I hadn't seen the films at Glencoe, what went on, made you so angry. And I'm thinking, you know, if I was there, there is the history of the Aracona.
Yeah, we haven't talked about the Lily part,
no,
the Raven part,
so it's,
at all, McLean.
Mm-hmm. My grandmother's
other side.
But, where, you know, they had the riots, and there was, our relatives were involved in throwing stones at the people that came to throw them out of their homes. And I think, you know, if I was there, I'd be one of those ones throwing stones, probably, and I don't consider myself a violent person. Mm-hmm. But it's just, you know, to come and snatch your home away and just kick you out of your house mm-hmm. and say you've got to go.
Catherine Lilly's, she was Catherine Reitman, her father was Alan Reitman. His father was Harvey Reitman, and he married Sarah McLean. So the McLean family were tenants, so they weren't crofters, they were tenants at Aracona in Scotland. And so there was quite a bit of documentation because there was some legal action at the time. But around in 1848, because it came to Canada in 49, might be wrong on the year, but they were given notice that they were to remove the roofs of their homes mm-hmm. and they were to clear the land. They were to be gone. That the landowner wanted it for his sheep. And that the families were to be removed. So his name, Sarah McLean's father was Alan McLean, and her mother was a Catherine Campbell. And so the McMillans, which Alan McLean's mother was a McMillan, the time came for the person who had served the papers for them to be gone, and they put up a fight. So they kind of they refused to leave. Mm-hmm. And so several were arrested. So our grandfather, Alan McLean, as well as his brother, Duncan McLean, were arrested and taken to Ballinog in Scotland. Whatever happened, Duncan, his brother, spent time in jail. Alan was acquitted. But then they came to Canada. Mm-hmm. And so in the poem that Grandma wrote, so Sarah McLean, my great-grandma's grandmother, she was very close to. So in her Bouquet of Lilies poem, she talks about how Grandma told it to me. And they talked about meeting the Queen and that. So Queen Victoria, there was the opening of the Queen and Canal, which was not far from where they were. And a lot of the families came to see that mm-hmm. and actually met the Queen. And so Sarah McLean actually had contact with the Queen. And it talks about the family like saying, don't go, like don't go to Canada, you know, because of all the wolves and it's a hard life. But in Canada, they could own their land.
Yeah.
And so that is what, that's where Alan came, Alan McLean came with his family, and Sarah McLean was the oldest, and that was Grandma Lily's grandmother. Mm-hmm. And so there's a couple of poems of her memory of that in that book. But you know, I remember when Mom went to Scotland and saying about how all the bairns, all the children, there wasn't any because all the young families and their children left.
Left, yeah.
And how sad
the people that were remaining in Scotland yeah. were. Mm-hmm. because all of the young were no longer there.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Hard. And so we have such a gift of heritage, mm-hmm. you know, especially in Dunwich, one of the most Scottish
yeah.
places, you know.
Yeah, we used to always, like, you know, go to the Highland Games. That was one thing we mm-hmm. always did. Mm-hmm. I remember Grandma and Grandpa Lily actually taking me, which I kind of had that relief, because I never thought of Grandpa being really into that, but I remember going under a wagon, because it was such a hot day, to get in some shade at the games. So when they had the Highland Games, it was so warm. But it was always an important part mm-hmm. of our history. And it's too bad that they don't have them anymore, but
yeah,
it's a good thing.
Yeah, it's really great to look back on your ancestors and your heritage and, mm-hmm. you know, be able to kind of figure out the story, and it really connects you and how mm-hmm. you wouldn't be here without your ancestors, and they've been through quite a lot. Their struggles are very...
And I think as girls, sometimes the girls were not treated really well way back. So I think as girls, we can be very grateful that we are where we are. And my dad mm-hmm. never treated us any less. He did let us girls do things that, like, my grandfather didn't. Mom's dad didn't approve of because we were girls, but we weren't treated. If we couldn't do it, if it was something that was hard to do, he would do it, but it was, he always had that freedom to do it.
Yeah.
So I always appreciated that, to be allowed to, and I'm thankful because, like, yeah, who knows where I would have been if I was back there. I'm sure I would have been in jail or something would have happened to me for sure. So,
well, I was fortunate because Mom was the oldest grandchild for both the Patton and the Lilly family.
Mm-hmm.
And then her mother, Flossie, Lilly Patton, she was the oldest. So her parents, that Grandma Lilly was told she couldn't have children. And they'd been married 7 years, and Flossie was born.
Mm-hmm.
And then she had 11. And then she had one other one. She had the 12th one who did not survive the pregnancy. But so she always felt like she had one short of a dozen, and she just wanted to march them across the doctor to show this family.
Mm-hmm. But on the Patton side or the McCrae side, my dad was the youngest of the family. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't the oldest grandchild mm-hmm. of that family. So
so that stories and the oral stories, you know, I was fortunate that, you know, I was fortunate to know my great grandparents, my dad's grandparents, who were in Chatham, but also Mom's
mm-hmm.
Great-grandparents as well, which is such a gift.
Yeah, and I think, you know, like, when they're able to, you know, look at my grandmother on my mom's side, the grandmother was still living, made such a difference to the family, kept the children together, mm-hmm. because when things happened, children did go, like the McQuillian family, mm-hmm. My grandfather helped raise a couple of boys, right? And that's why they call them Uncle Dan, and mm-hmm. well, I guess he was, but they had a special, we always thought of them a closer relative because they were raised mm-hmm. with the family. And people always, you know, helped out that way. So whether that would happen so much today, I'm not sure. People are so busy, they mm-hmm. don't have the time. So it's good to, but I think it's important, for me it's important to remember those that have gone on and made it a better way for us, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.